www.ai.org or call 212-209-2870. We promise to get back to you within a week's time. Again, please call 212-209-2870 if you have a question about a premium you ordered, or email premiums@wbai.org.
WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Coming up next, The Collision.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Say what you say, say what?
I don't want to be like Mike.
Before Magic's knees go permanently south for the winter.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Changing up the guard quicker than fear brings down doo-doo. Hey, young bro.
He never saw Elgin Baylor play during his day, or Oscar Robinson.
Flash the dice roll back. The big O was jackknifing through all them bodies.
I didn't know nothing about it.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing out there? Good morning, good morning, good morning. No, this is not Dave Zirin. This is Kevin McNutt, your co-host today, filling in for Dave Zirin. As you can tell by my voice, I'm also better looking than Dave, but that's another story. And Magic Mike is in the studio, and my co-host is going to be Chuck Modiano. Chuck, are you there?
I'm here. It's great to be here, Coach McNutt.
Hey, look at me. We are coming off the bench for Dave Zirin and Eton Thomas.
Woo!
They big stars, and they got a lot going on. So we coming in off the bench. But guess what? We can play. They may not get their spot back. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, the Nets outside of the big three, the other players have come in and scored 66 points a game. Uh-huh. So, you know, this could be done. It's possible.
Look. We got Magic Mike in a hole that can launch some threes with sound.
That's right. That's so, right.
So they don't know what they're in for, you know, giving us the studio for an hour. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Eton, they already clinched a playoff, so, you know, they got the back.
Right. They big timing us, huh? They big timing us. Okay. All right. Look, we're going to fire them up right now. So look.
That's right.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes. Yes, sir.
The folks should know about you. That you're a fabulous reporter, writer with Deadspin. But what they don't know about you, our listeners do, but we get new listeners every week, and we're up in New York now, is that you do an excellent job. Every time you on, it's a must hear, because you do something that I call, you go up the street beat. You are active in the community. You're out on the streets. You have been since the pandemic started and before. So I look forward to this segment every time you're on. So come on with it. Come on with the street beat. Tell us what's going on.
So I appreciate that. I'm going to come with a street beat, but I do want to say something with regards to DZ, because I know Dave's mom isn't well, and he's with her. And so I want everybody to hold him up in our thoughts, in our prayers, because Dave is like Cal Ripken on this show. He doesn't miss a show easy, you know? So for him to miss a show, it's something. So we were going to send a lot of love his way.
Absolutely.
Have to do that. And so always appreciate DZ, appreciate Eton. And let's talk about the street beat for a minute. You know, yes, you know, NBA playoffs is happening, and we're going to talk about it, and we're excited about it, no question. But in D.C., protests are continuing every single week, and I do have a chance to talk to people. And my go-to question is, why did you come out here today and listen to the magic happen from the voices in the street that are unfiltered from outside interests? So, for instance, this past Saturday, there was a defund MPD rally, MPD being the D.C. Police Department. And, you know, the post-George Floyd protests were more than about just George Floyd and accountability for his murder, and accountability, by the way, meaning not just Derek Chauvin, but the other three officers who let it happen, who were complicit, who go on trial in August, quite possibly. And it doesn't just mean that. It means that during that whole time, during those protests over a year, not only did the Washington, the D.C. Police Department not get defunded, but they got more funding. So the opposite happened. And so the protests are very aware of that. So they had a defund MPD rally to bring light to that, so that you resources can be used to go to homeless, resources that can be used to go to mental health services, resources can be can go to teachers instead of more police, to over police and hyper police protesters who are doing nothing wrong. So that was going on. At the same time that was happening, there was this sixth straight Saturday of a Free Palestine rally, which is historic. You can't go to most years and get six Free Palestine rallies in a year. So we know something is happening. We know videos are getting out. We know the word is getting out. And then the previous week to that, there was a protest, or I would say a vigil and a ceremony for the famous Swan Street rally, where police arrested over 200 people, but a great gentleman by the name of Raul Duby opened his home and took in over 100 protesters. Mm-hmm. And so we honored him and at that time as well. So a lot has been going on.
Fantastic, fantastic. And I know this is going to make you mad, but I got to touch on it because it happened. I saw it on the morning news that they said that clearing out the protesters for Trump's walk to the church was not for Trump's walk to the church, but it was for so they could put up a fence. I mean, right. I couldn't stop laughing with that one.
Oh, yeah.
I can feel my anger. You want to speak on that for a hot minute?
That was the report. And you have to understand that church was they wanted to put up that fence, but also the church they're speaking of. Ultimately, that church was supportive of protesters, and the police ended up putting that fence around the church to stop protesters and against the private will of the people of the church, because they were using that. And it's very important, because that's what the church is supposed to be about. The church is supposed to be about justice and resistance. And when the church did that, you know, police stepped in. The only thing I would add, and I was listening to some of the reports yesterday, is that we are rightfully critical when there's this police malfeasance under Trump, right? Mm-hmm. But the worry is, when this has continued, and when it had nothing to do with Trump, and when it had to do with local MPD, we don't see the same resistance. So it makes us think, is the news interested in police abuse and police terror and police misconduct, or are they using the police to talk about Trump, which we should talk about, but we should talk about if it happens under Biden. We should talk about it if it happens under a Democratic mayor, and that's very important. Even what I mentioned earlier with Raul Duby, we're saying he's a hero. Time mentioned him as a hero for taking in all these protesters who were being tear gassed and away from police. But you can't have a hero without a villain. So they've managed to make this hero without saying who the villain is. If he's a hero, then the local police are villains. So call it what it is, and tell both sides of the story.
Chuck from way downtown, bang. My man.
Do you Mike Breen me right there?
but look here, brother. Let's move on to him. Street Beat, man.
Let's do it.
I named it. Look, just like I gave Magic Mike his name. Dave tried to coin it and say it was his doing, but you know that. And, you know, Dave's a star, so I let him have that. When you come on, it's the street beat. All right,
let's do it. Okay? Street beat, right. It is.
It's street beat, and you just tell Dave that we named it the street beat, because you got to feed us, man. You got to feed us big time. But look, so here's how we're gonna do this thing with the NBA. We're gonna cover the games and the series and all that down the road. By the way, one of the other things we're gonna do, folks. Chuck did an excellent piece on Cam Newton, and so we got to talk about that. You know, he gets hotter than most people when he starts talking about the black quarterback in the NFL. So you're going to talk about we're going to get to Cam somewhere down the road here. But right now, we're going to talk NBA. But instead of the series, we will get to those series. But Chuck, I just want to do a little overview of the NBA playoffs. Ask you a couple of questions, and we can go back and forth on that. So here's the first one. Did you like the play-in, playoff games, the structure, the format, et cetera, et cetera?
I have a little bit of a schizophrenic reply because I was excited about it, right? It
right.
did get me watching right away. So my sense of excitement, I was locked in like many people. And then my sense of meritocracy says, I don't know if I like this. What did we play the season for? You know, what did we play the season for? I could see why the NBA will do it. You get two extra teams interested yep. in it.
Right.
And I at least appreciate somewhere in that play, and there was a little bit of meritocracy, meaning that the ninth and tenth team had to win twice to get in, where yep. the seventh and eighth only had to win once, which makes it a little bit different than the silly one game and MLB playoffs where it's just all on one game. You had right. to go farther if you were 9 and 10. So I think mm-hmm. that mitigated for mm-hmm. me some of my reservations of the play-in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting, because you said something very heavy there. As it washed out, I thought the Lakers would overcome that as a 7 seed. But as it turned out, 7-8, none of the 7-8s advanced. And I said that, you know, my first love is the NCAA. And I'm saying, no, this ain't the NCAA play-in in Dayton. And then you can get a UCLA that comes out of a play-in game, essentially playing on the first weekend. And then goes all the way to a half-court buzzer beating, and losing to Gonzaga.
Let me challenge you, coach, because you say that's your love. I have a problem with March Madness. I know I'm in the minority.
I know.
Why do you like a system, as exciting as it may be, mm-hmm. where one bad game or someone in foul trouble can get a great team bounced early on, and we don't see them again? Why do you like that format?
Because that is how it's done. First of all, they're all champions. That's point number one. They're all champions. That's coach talking right there. Most of them are champions, the division champions. So yeah. let the small guy play. Mm-hmm. Then you have the, you know, the 4 seed out of the ACC and all of that. So, but it's one and done, and that's just the beauty of it, and that's how UCLA can advance. That did not happen in the NBA with this play-in, and it will not happen because after you determine who is the 7th or 8th seed, they go play a 1 and a 2, and you are not going to beat a 1 and a 2 in a 7-game series. The right. Lakers were anomaly because their two HOF cats, LeBron and Davis, were hurt. So you're saying, okay, they're yeah. healthy, and they didn't do it. And the Wizards were bounced, winning one game because Embiid didn't play, and so mm-hmm. forth and so on. And it's not going to happen in the NBA like it could in college because it's not one and done. It's because it's a 7-game series, and talent will rise in the top over 7 games.
Correct.
So I thought it was now for me. I did watch the Golden State Laker matchup. I was intrigued and all of that. So
yeah,
but like you opened up. Now you've got 20 of the 30 teams in the playoffs after a 72-game schedule this year, and it's 82. And I'm like, what are you doing?
I mean, okay. Right.
And again, it's a money grab and so forth and so on. So, all right, we hit that one. Another one. Is it me, or have you noticed a rash of injuries normally higher than normal, let me put it that way, going into the playoffs? I mean, we had, obviously, Davis's injury turned that series around. Harden's out now. Jeff Green's out for the Nets. Embiid, we day to day. DiVincenzo was out for Milwaukee. Paul, you know, he's better now. Conley's out for Utah. DeAndre Hunter's out for the series, and that's a huge loss for Atlanta. Don't sleep on that one. Is it me or is I didn't see this happening in the bubble last year, and I don't remember past playoffs, but it seems like a lot of key players and Conley's big, and I know how much you dig Utah. That's big. So is it just me or just a rash of injuries?
So I asked myself the same question. Are we just highlighting it? But someone actually did do a study a couple of days ago, and there is a rise in injuries. So there's some injuries that are going to happen every year. We get that. That happens every year.
Right.
But there has been a rise in injuries this year. When you condense the schedule, you're messing with people's bodies. And people's and even when something's a non-contact injury, people's bodies give out. The human body was not meant to play so much basketball. I mean, you know better than I do, Coach. You know, when you're jumping up, you're coming down, and you're doing this repeatedly, your body needs recovery time, right? So, yeah, I think the answer, at least quantitatively, is yes. It's hurt the system. And I think what that does is give credence to some of the players like a Kawhi Leonard and others who have taken days off. And I know the old school says you don't do that, and Michael Jordan never took a game off in his life. And what is this? I know the old school people, because I'm kind of old school in other ways. Let's protect the players, and I think that's more important if they miss a game or two here and there.
Right. Load management and all, you know, that's a new term there.
Right.
The injury thing. And look, and I know we're going to talk about football a little later on. That's why, man, I am so disgusted and so upset with the players' union. And I guess it was only 30 votes. They're going to a 17th game, and you're talking about injuries in basketball. See, I'm getting worked up on that.
Were you talking about NFL players' union? Because I want to say there is no such thing as an NFL players' union, because Roger Goodell leads that too. And if he didn't lead that, you wouldn't have had the worst collective bargaining agreement possible that screws retired players from disabilities. And so. Listen, that's you know, I'm sorry. Goodell runs that players union. We know what's up there.
Here we are. You are at the Steph Curry's record from three. You are on fire today. but I'm getting an assist, so I ain't mad at you. Keep on going. Any comments on Nikolai Jokic getting MVP?
I like it. I know some people disagree with it. So some people say Steph should get it. I think that was LeBron's opinion as well. And, you know, I wouldn't get all mad if Steph got it. But the Joker is something else.
No,
I mean, the passing is what does it for me. He had over 8 assists per game as a point center. And if you see how he does it and how he sees everyone, it's incredible how he sees the floor. Now, the only other center in history to have over 8 assists per game was Wilt Chamberlain with the famous 76ers, those championship 76ers years. And Wilt was just putting up insane numbers. He was throwing in like 24 points and 24 rebounds as well with his 8 assists. So we don't see this from centers.
Right.
And so you can't guard him. It was interesting in the last series versus Portland, and Dame, he was incredible. Is that they played him straight up because they were so afraid of how he saw the floor, and he ends up scoring a lot of points, and other Denver folks stepped up. I think he deserved it. I believe on the merits of what he did, particularly after Jamal Murray went out, I felt he deserved it.
Yep, two things. He played every game. He played 72, so that knocks Embiid out. When Murray went out, I think they won 75% of the games after Murray left, and Murray's a bad boy. We're gonna talk about the young stars in a minute. And for Steph Curry, most outstanding player.
Yeah.
Not most valuable. I mean, that team limped in to the play, got hot down the wire, but he came in with a 500 record, I think, maybe a game ahead somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you can do that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Denver, what, second seed, third seed, something like that, 47 games, 50 game wins. 50, no, Jokic deserved it. No problem with that.
No problem at all.
Here we go. Well, by the way, I got to throw a Zaire zinger at you, so I'm going to hit you with one before we move into the meat and potatoes here. Do you know, Chuck, that only 3 teams of the 8 that are left, their franchises have won an NBA title in history? Do you know the 3 teams?
Well, you know Philly's still in the playoffs.
Yep, they won one back in the Moses Malone 4-4-4 days, which, by the way, Hey, Chuck, now it's 4-4-4-4. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Moses won a UNA to win 12 game. Now you got to win 16.
That's right. We'd have to update Moses Malone's famous faux comments because it's a fourth faux. And since you're there, as I stalled for the other two, since you're there, we have to talk on that team. You know, people know Moses. People know Dr. J, of course. Some know Mo Cheeks. But there was a guy, Andrew Toney, for a few years before he got injured, would be a Hall of Fame player had he not got injured, who was a lights-out shooter. So I got to give love to Andrew Toney there.
And don't sleep on Bobby Jones on it. You know, the defensive star.
Great defender. So we know Milwaukee has won with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar back.
I believe it was Lou Alcindor.
Lou Alcindor back then. 1970 with the Big O in his latter years. Chris Paul's trying to be that Big O coming into Phoenix right now.
You are good. Way downtown again.
And then if we go to the Hawks, you have to go way back to Bob Pettit. We're going real old school. We're going like deep into like the 50s or something like that. And they used to be the St. Louis Hawks. But I have no problem without the big names being in the playoffs because we're getting a chance to see some of the other greatness without it being drowned out.
Yep. I'm gonna feed you a softball here. Although you may get mad about it, but before I said we get to the meat and potatoes, but we're already in the meat and potatoes. You're knocking it down from way downtown. Give me your Knicks. We've got a New York audience, so give me and I know your Knicks. That's your heart.
That's my heart.
Give me a Knicks overview, and as you go into it, I want to ask you this: what if I tell you that RJ Barrett is looking like Andrew Wiggins? So I'll put that into your overview. Go.
Well, you know, that was a tough one to lead in. Before I answer your question, I want you to elaborate on why you think he's going to end up going to Andrew Wiggins around. I'm going to throw it back to you, and then I'll give you my next overview. Give it to me.
Well, because that's a lead into our next question, because we're going to talk about the under 24 star.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a lottery pick. And going to New York, and I'm starting to see, you know, athletic galore. But like Wiggins, who was a number one pick, you know, we aren't even talking to him in this matter of fact, I don't know where Wiggins is now. I don't know if he's in the under 24 set. He ain't making this group that we're going to talk about. Yeah. And he hasn't reached the level that you hope for being a number one pick. And RJ, I know this is the second year. I know he might be
number three pick. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just see a great athlete. I'm big on this, Chuck. An athlete versus a skilled ball player. He's 6'7". He's got a beautiful NBA body. I don't know about some of the skill set, which he can still mature and grow into. And Wiggins, I keep saying, he's out of Minnesota. Okay, here it is. And he blossomed somewhat in Golden State, but not to what we want. So that's where I was going with that with Barrett. And
that's fair.
It's a mini lead into where we're going with the next question.
Sure. Sure. Well, you know what? I want to give RJ a little bit of time to grow. I mean, I think the sad thing is, remember, Knicks fans wanted Zion. And if you weren't going to get Zion, you wanted the number two pick. Ooh, Ja Morant. Oh, my goodness. He was fun to watch in the playoffs. I mean, I told you, and forgive me if I'm overstepping here, but I was watching Allen Iverson, but 3 inches taller during these playoffs because people could not stay in front of him. And he's the first man since AI where I was like, whoa, am I watching AI again? Mm-hmm. And what was so interesting about Ja is that they only have one defense against them, and that was to sag 3 feet and say, Ja, okay, just shoot the open jumper because he can't stay in front of you, right?
Right.
So for me, if Ja Morant develops in the off seasons a jumper or a three-pointer, if he adds that to his game, my goodness, he's going to be redefined unstoppable.
Okay. You know? I got you.
So okay. about the Knicks, that's my way of saying I really wish the Knicks got Ja Morant. If they
I can dig it.
All right. So there's a gap between Ja and RJ. I'm still rooting for him. I'm still holding out hope. Listen, the Knicks season has to be a success because you don't judge against what happened in the Hawks. Here's you judge against preseason. Yep. And in preseason, no one said they would make the playoffs. I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs. No one saw – You know, we're mad at Julius Randle now that he had a poor series, but no one dreamed that Julius Randle would become an all-star, would go from a 30% three-point shooter to a 41% three-point shooter. We'd go from three assists to six assists, be a point forward. So let's look at Julius Randle in the season and know that everyone has had a bad playoff series here and there. All the greats have had bad playoff series, and not define him on a few games in that series. So I'm pleased with that. I'm pleased with the rookies and Quickly and Toppin, and they're only going to improve. Do we need more players? Certainly. Do we need a point guard? Rose, should he be re-signed to come off the bench? Yes, Dennis Schroeder's out there. Some other people are out there. We need that. But it's a success, and I couldn't be happier when you look at the long view of what happened this year. At the same time, you need talent. And what we saw in the Hawks, we saw shooters, we saw talent. It wasn't just Trey. All those shooters opened it up. So when Trey Young kicked it out, they were knocking them down, and we don't have those knockdown shooters right now.
Right. And Tibbs was Coach of the Year, so you know he's doing work.
He did a great job.
He has the credentials for being a top coach anyway. So
sure.
Yeah, no. And again, you went where I would have gone. It had to be success. I mean, Randle Blossom, so it was good stuff. Hey, Magic Mike, do you want to do some sounds here, or do you want us to keep on rolling? Because Chuck is on fire. I don't want to, you know, I want to keep feeding the rock, but it's your call. Well,
you give me layups though. It's all the assists.
I'm looking for Magic Mike to give me a signal what he wants to do, because we can keep on going. I keep on going, Mike. But if I hear some sounds, then we'll just take a break. So it's no big deal either way. So I'll keep on running, and if you got something you can throw in, you know, that's cool. If not, I'll just keep feeding the rock to Chuck. He is on fire.
You said earlier we want to talk about these new young players, and these playoffs have given us an opportunity to see the new young players, maybe without the vets in there. Curry wasn't in there, LeBron after the first round. So I think this is sort of a coming out in a way nationally for the youth of the NBA. Okay. And I think there's a lot of great players out there. You know, we're talking about Ja is 21. We saw him in the playoffs.
No, I'm not going to let you slide. I'm going to do it this way because you're on fire. So I'm just going to feed you the question of questions. You are the GM of a team, and you have the first pick of these under 24 cats.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic, Jason Tatum,
yeah,
Ja Morant, Trae Young, Zion Williamson, Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker. And I'm probably leaving out another half dozen that you can name, but I'm going to start there with that one, two.
Jason Tatum is 23.
I know. That's what I'm saying. These are all under 24 cats.
Yeah.
All under 24 years of age. Yeah. Doncic, Tatum, Morant, Young, Williamson, Mitchell, and Booker. Who's your first number? Who's your number one pick?
Can I go a little bit slow on this? Because you threw a lot of greatness at me. You threw a lot of greatness.
I know.
And we didn't even talk about LaMelo and Anthony Edwards. They're only 19, and we could revise this conversation in a year or two.
Let me go slow.
Let me go slow. I don't want to not give some people respect. So let me bring it to my three. My three, and everyone you name, is Luka is one, Jason Tatum is another, and Zion is a third. So that's my three. And let me tell you how I get to one. The first one, very difficultly, any of those three could end up being the answer. And I think it'll be one of those three. So I may lean that the Zion may have the highest peak, because if you know, Zion averaged 27 points, but he did it on 61% shooting last year, and which is incredible, you know, to have a high volume scorer and to do it at 61%. And he's only 20. He's getting better. So he could run this league. So I'm inclined to pick Zion as my number one. However, if you're talking longevity, because Zion does so much given on his athleticism, that he has a type of athleticism maybe when he hits 30. If you have the long view, when he hits 30, he may not be the same person as we've seen with so many super athletic players. So if you're having the long view of going into past 30 and having a longevity, I might then lean Luka in that respect, because Luka is 22. He has the full game. His passing is phenomenal. And I know this is a little blasphemous, but if you really look at Luka's game, forget the physique, because he doesn't have the same physique. He has more finesse than power. But his actual game is the closest we have stylistically to LeBron James, actually. LeBron James has more power, but if you're talking about the point, playing the point forward, the height, seeing the floor, being able to score, being able to pass, setting up teammates, and being able to grab 10 rebounds a game if you need it, when it's needed, Luka is a descendant of LeBron James' game, and sometimes maybe because he doesn't have the power game and the same physique, that gets lost. So I might ride with Luka.
Editor note right there. At this same stage, his second year in the league, he's a far better shooter than LeBron was, by far.
He is a better shooter, yes. Yeah, LeBron became better over time shooting,
right,
yes.
Right, but LeBron had the explosiveness, the body, to get where he wanted to go that way.
Yeah.
But so that comparison is not far-fetched. So anyway, go ahead, continue.
Well, so for me, and again, Tatum could jump the line. And listen, I didn't put Ja in that top three for the simple fact he doesn't have that jumper yet. If Ja gets that jumper, well, you know, we could mess this whole lineup up. But I think I'm going to give you two answers, and that's unfair. If it's peak value, I'm going with Zion. If it's career, I'm going with Luka, because I think Luka will play well into his 30s the same way LeBron has.
Okay, so where's Tatum?
He's right there. He's right there, like 1A, like 1A, 1B, 1C, because you're asking me questions about who's your favorite children. That's what you're doing right now. You know what I mean? This ain't fair. What do you think? Let me ask you what you think, Coach. You're the coach.
Okay, I got you. Because I've had this question has been given to me a week ago, so I had a little time to marinate on it. But my answer, even when it was first put to me, was Tatum.
Okay, I can't argue with that.
I don't forget now. Tatum went, and I hope I'm correct in saying this. He went for 50 in two playoff games within a week, right?
Yes. Yes.
And he did it in every way of the game. Three off the dribble, mid range, post up. I mean, he got it done in every level. And you say, well, Luka's got the ball in his hands, he could do more. But Tatum moves without the ball, which is something Luka has to get, and that will happen when he has better teammates. He needs to have the ball in his hand right now. But Tatum, I think Tatum is gifted enough that eventually you can shift him for a little point duty for a quarter or two if need be. That's how gifted I see him.
I can't argue. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and fight you because that could happen. Yeah. I'll say this about Tatum. We're talking about who he's a descendant of. Jason Tatum is going to allow us to see who Tracy McGrady would have been without the injuries. Because he reminds me, he got a lot of Tracy McGrady, but he's more skilled shooting-wise than McGrady was. So he has McGrady's, he's 6'8 frame, and the athleticism, and McGrady was just going nuts before his back started to bother him.
Right.
But he had a few years where he was basically Kobe, but a couple inches taller. And I would argue at his peak, and please, people, Kobe fans, don't kill me for this, but at his peak, before his back, I rate him slightly ahead of Kobe than the back game. I do. If you watch those Orlando years, he was taking a bunch of bums to the playoffs, and I know I'm not supposed to say that, but that Jason Tatum could be McGrady without the injuries. We can see what that career looks like.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I actually had the pleasure of reffing Tracy McGrady in high school, as I did with Kobe and Jermaine. I know I'm gonna tell you that real quick, but let me just jump in something here. What separates Tatum from the rest of the 24s that I just mentioned? He's better on outside of maybe Morant. He's the best of the bunch that plays defense right now.
Good point.
And the other thing, he has a full package in his game. You know what I mean? I think Luka doesn't cross half court for defense. You know what I mean?
You know
Trae Young. Trae Young at 6 feet is not going to be a defense. He's one thing the Knicks did not do. They didn't put any pressure on him on the other end where he had to work. So he's just played offensive end, but that's going to come with the Knicks. So you know, so I gave it to Tatum without too much hesitation. Although I had Doncic a second, but look, just because I started, let me tell you my story.
Let's hear it.
I'm a referee, so everybody knows I'm a referee. The coach, Dave called me coach. But anyway, I have done some coaching. But AAU basketball. I was refereeing a tournament. It's called the Charlie Weber Tournament. It's no longer existing, but here, it's here in D.C. It was played at the University of Maryland. So I get the championship game. And this, and teams come from all over the country to play in this thing. And sure enough, it's a championship game at Cole Field House. And what do I have? But Jermaine O'Neal on one side and Kobe Bryant on the other. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that. You know, I'm just showing the game. I didn't know who's playing. And they say, it's a group from Philly. And I forgot where Jermaine was coming from, right? And so we played a game. And what I show you my wisdom. I'm like, well, neither one of these cats should be going to the league. I still have problems with that. So way back then when they came out, I just wasn't even feeling on that level. You know what I'm saying? And they proved me wrong. But here's the thing, a takeaway from Kobe Bryant that stunned me the most. This cat was diving on the floor for loose balls.
Mm.
One time he dived on the floor, rolled into and under the scores table. And I'm like, this is the number one player in the country. Right. And this is what he's doing. He's hawking guys 94 feet. And, you know, most of the time these AAU tournaments, they're played in gyms with multiple floors. They're small, the high school level, if that, because you're trying to get games in and all these venues and so forth. So now they're playing on Cole Fieldhouse floor, which is a, you know, college environment.
Sure.
Kobe's pressing up on his man, 94 feet. I was like, this is a will to win.
Yeah.
You just don't see.
Yeah.
At an 18-year-old, 17, 18, whatever he was at the time. You know what I mean? And he had the skill set and the athleticism to accentuate all that. Just a remarkable, remarkable thing. One of my, I have highlights of my refereeing career, and that's one of them.
Question for you.
Yes, sir.
I know you appreciate that today. Did you understand at that time what you could have been witnessing? Could you have any way to fully understand the greatness at that time?
Absolutely not. That's what I'm saying. And I'm like, okay, yeah, bad boy. I can see I can be number one because I repped a lot of play, a lot of ball, and saw, you know, national talent, New York talent, you know, Chicago talent, so on. But I was adamant. No, these boys should not. He's 6'6". No, he should not be going to the NBA. You know what I'm saying? So no, I had no clue that he would, you know, come on to do what he did and be what he, you know, be what he was. So no.
Jerry West had a clue. Jerry West had a clue.
he's one of the best that ever did it. You know what I'm
That's
saying?
That's right.
Which leads to my next question. Boy, I tell you, we are rocking and rolling, man. I tell you, David Eton's going to work hard every day. So I'm penetrating and kicking you this one.
Oh, I love it.
Define, because this is the most overused word in sports, overused term in sports. Define superstar. Let's just stay in the NBA. Define superstar. I have a definition of what a superstar is. I'll stop there because I...
No, I want to hear your definition first.
And that's why, because people said, when this question was brought up about the under 24, man, these young superstars under 24, what do you think? Hear the name. And my first comeback was, well, none of them are superstars.
Yeah.
They're good. But my definition of a superstar, and this is where maybe, you know, I'm 100 years old and so forth, they would say, that my definition of superstar is this. One, you must show 5 years. Now, you can tweak it, but 5 years of sustained excellence. You know what I mean? 25 points a game. You know what I mean? Or, 18, 12, and 7s, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Sustained excellence, all-star or above excellence. Two, you must carry your team, carry the team. I don't want to say lead your team. I want to say carry your team. That's put them on your back. To a deep run in the playoffs, not to necessarily to a championship, but finals. You know what I mean? Get them to the finals, like Iverson did with that Philadelphia mob. And the third criteria is you must have a well-rounded game without any glaring weaknesses. Those are my three criteria. Now, I know before I ask you yours, I know what you're going to say. Well, coach, you're living out a whole lot of cats, and I am. Because my definition of a superstar is rarefied air. So, you know, and I know you're saying, the first one when I said this, the first one you ever hear, well, what you doing with Giannis? And, you know, but, and we can talk about that in a minute, and we will. But I'm saying, yeah, to me, a superstar is for an exclusive lot in rarefied air, LeBron, Curry, KD, Kawhi Leonard, You could put Kyrie in there because he's done both, sustained excellence, carried a team, and he has a ring. And I guess you got to throw in Anthony Davis, but I got issues with his being in a repair shop so much. But yeah, you know. But anyway, on to you.
I'm going to analyze yours. I think I'm with you on half of it. Mm-hmm. The problem, I think, well, first of all, they're well-rounded. Almost every, even superstars, I think, have weaknesses. But it makes me understand why you picked no.
No? No. Okay. What's KD's weakness? What's LeBron's weakness?
I don't know what's LeBron's weakness. Well, but ask me this. How is your feeling about KD as a defender?
Underrated.
Okay.
Go.
All right. I'll go with you. But I'm going to take your point. You know what? You made a very compelling argument about Tatum over Zion and Luka, and your compelling argument was based on he's a two-way player in defense. And I am guilty of, when I was doing my analysis, defense was in the back of my mind, and I wasn't thinking of it in a two-way. And from that perspective, you may end up being right on Tatum because he could play two ways, mm-hmm. and Luka is not going to be a Tatum defender, and I'm not sure where Zion is on defending. I haven't watched him enough to really to know. So that's an excellent point, mm-hmm. and well rounded. The mm-hmm. deep run in the playoffs. The part that bothers me a little bit is that it's so dependent. Yes. On teammates. So let me give you a perfect example. Mm-hmm. The great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, in his couple of years, he wins a championship with the Milwaukee Bucks as Lew Alcindor in 1971. And in the 1980s, when Magic comes along, he wins a slew of championships, I think five more. Mm-hmm. They go crazy. Now, there's a period in between the Big O, who's helping mm-hmm. him in Milwaukee, uh-huh. and Magic. Uh-huh. And in that 5-6 year period, he has very little help. He wins the MVP one year on like a 500 team, or maybe two games under 500. He's considered the best player in basketball, but for the most part, he either doesn't make the playoffs or he's bounced from the playoffs in the first round. Well, he's bounced from the playoffs in the first round because he's got a bunch of bums around him. So what that tells me is that even the greatest, even a person with six championships with two teams, in the wrong situation, could not make a deep run. So I want to find out and not penalize someone who has a bunch of bums as teammates mm-hmm. to say, you know what, that's not their fault. It's not mm-hmm. their fault. There's mm-hmm. only so much that they can do. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little more, maybe more sympathetic to people who, mm-hmm. and yes, I'm a Carmelo Anthony fan, so I'm sympathetic to the slander that he had at the peak of his career as the Knicks, and they said, "Whoa, Melo should get it done," and then Melo left, right? And then what happened? Then you saw them winning 18 games a year. That's what you get for putting it all on Melo. That's what you get.
You know, see, I put all that butter on you early on about, you know, you, I was writing you on the street, B. Right, and all that. And then you try to give me a flim-flam move. You said all that up, knowing that Kareem is my favorite of all time. Kareem, all the way, so you could slide in your boy Melo.
Well, Melo ain't no Kareem. Melo ain't no Kareem. But I got a stat for you, though.
Come on. Wait, let me finish. That is a Dave Zion move you just did right there. So that's not a good thing.
That's the whole thing. I didn't know if that was a compliment or an insult. You got to be clear.
come on with this. Now you're trying to make amends by giving me a stat.
Here's a stat.
My jaw is tight.
I was hearing all this Carmelo slander for years, right? And during Phil Jackson's years, and Phil Jackson, you know, shipped away Tyson Chandler and the rebounders and shipped away J.R. Smith right away. So Melo had to do it all on his own. Even one year, he led them in points and he led them in rebounds and assists in the same year. I started looking at during those 3 years, the games Melo missed. He mm-hmm. ended up missing 60 games with the Knicks under Phil Jackson. And do you know what the record for the Knicks was during the 60 games Melo missed under Phil Jackson?
Come on.
It was 9-51.
Woo!
They had a 9-51 team without Melo. Right. But New York fans, I'm a New York fan, but I'll get on my fellow New York fans, because you're all haters.
Right.
Blame Melo for not making the playoffs with a 9-51 support squad. Yeah, okay,
right.
That's what you did, and so you deserve to lose when you run your best players out of town and you treat your best players like garbage. And that goes back to Patrick Ewing, by the way. We love Patrick Ewing now, but look at what the people were saying in the media in the last 2 or 3 years. Oh, Patrick's slowing up the team. They're not as fun to watch. Then Patrick leaves. You had 20 years of garbage. Serves you right.
I love it. This beautiful radio here. This, I'm telling you, man. Eton Ed got their work cut out. You are on fire. That was
well.
That
you're
was,
talking Knicks. You're rant. Talking Knicks. I don't even know I'm on radio right now. We're on my couch right now. You're talking Knicks.
Now this is barbershop right there. But you know that is really. And now, like I said, now you know I'm a referee. So my definition was rule book. But you don't, to be a good referee, you can't just rule. You can't just referee rule book.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's that contact, but he's on his way to that cup. Let him go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how a good referee gets thing done. All contact is not a foul. You could have such thing as a screen or a box out. So when I said that, I also said you can tweak it. Melo is 12 years in the league of excellence when you're talking about 25 a game or whatever his numbers are.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So you got
10th leading scorer all time.
Yep. Yep. And I think he's going to finish, what, seventh? By the time
he may end up last year.
Yeah. So you got to know the rule book, but you also have to, you know, to be a good one, you got to let the players play at some level too. So, you know, so there's exception to that. You know, you can look at Melo and Chris Paul and some folks like this, like, you know, and staying with Giannis, and again, here we are segue into the playoff games now.
Yes, and he's getting heat.
Yeah, he's getting heat, and some of it's deserved. But the cat can't make a free throw. He has nothing from 15 feet. Mm-hmm. And his team looks like they're going to be bounced early again. So superstar, he's got 5 years to stay next. I was on Melo. I was on Giannis. His second year in Milwaukee, when he led the team, I think it was his second year, when he led the team in five categories: scoring, assists, rebounds, block shots, and steals.
Yeah.
And you know, he's regressed; he's gotten better. But then the playoffs hit, and he can't hit a jumper. And I'm so frustrated. But I'm not gonna go and rant like you. I can't top what you just did.
You can rant
his game that I teach. I taught my daughter this before she went to play high school and went to Georgetown to play. One dribble up. It's just a thing that all trainers do and all people do. Where you get the ball, say at the foul line, one dribble right, one dribble left, at max two, and you lift.
Yeah.
And you shoot that shot. Now, he's done this a couple of times, I saw in the first round of playoffs. That should be a staple of his game because it's uncheckable. Because one, everybody's scared of him driving and dunking on you, so they wall up.
Yep.
And he just did one dribble up from the free throw line with one step. We were talking about a 12-footer that cannot be blocked because it's length. You know, Durant shoots over people because they're 6'5", 6'6". They can't touch. He knows it. You can't get this bang.
Yeah.
And he does not have that in his game. Now, somebody says, well, Kev, come on, man. Get off the Kev. The Cavs averaging 30 a game. What do you want? Well, he's averaging 30 because his team, like you just said about, you know, players around you, he has players around him, and they go through the conference, and they're going to win 50. Okay. But now you talk about the playoffs. And that's where that one dribble it up, right, off right-hand dribble or left-hand dribble, will get him to where he just hadn't worked so hard to score.
Yeah.
And his free throw line. I'm like, who is your shot doctor? Pay me, man. I get this done for you. I mean, there's too many moving parts on his free throw. I'm getting too technical. Too many moving parts and so forth and so on. And now it's confidence shot. But anyway, it wasn't ran as good as yours about Carmelo, but you slid that down me on the bus.
But what you're saying is important. Well, people forget that. But listen, it is important. And I like Giannis, and I think a lot of the criticism is a bit unfair. But there are some things. So, for instance, he scores 34 in the first game, and he does it on 16 of 24 shooting.
Yes.
He doesn't get to the line. So, you know, he obviously is not the reason there in that first game. The second game, he only shoots 15 shots. He didn't shoot terribly well. He went 8-for-15. But when you're a superstar, you have to shoot more than 15 times in the playoffs. But now when you're a big man superstar, you're also a bit dependent on someone getting you the ball. It's easier when you're a guard and you pull it up. If you're Tatum and you bring it up, or if you're Jordan and you bring it up, you could dictate your amount of shots. Luka the same way, you bring it up. When you're a big man, you need more help to get you the ball. And I would argue still on that level doesn't have that help.
But wait a minute. Is he not a point forward, though?
He is a point forward, and yes, he is a point forward. He's a 6'11 point forward, and if the coach wanted to run him that way, and I think early days kid wanted to, you know, you can do that. And let me give you a little bit of a very quick story is that when a few years ago I went to the NBA Summer League, okay? Mm-hmm. And the reason I went to the NBA, I went a few years because I love seeing the up-and-coming talent. And I went for Jabari Parker. If you recall, Jabari Parker was the second pick in the draft, and I wanted to see what Jabari looked like. And I started to go to all the Bucks games. And you could sit there, as you know, watch games all day, like 6-7 straight games, and you're in the fifth row, and you're watching these games. And Jabari came in out of shape, actually, after Duke. So after he was drafted, he was a little flabby. He was out of shape. He had injuries his first year, and that wasn't actually surprising to me. But I was blown away with Giannis. Blown away. I said, this guy is I've never seen a guy so athletic. And he was so skinny back then, if you recall. Yep. But he's playing point forward.
Yes.
And that would be a coach's decision. You know, he didn't have quite as much muscle. He's playing point forward. And I was blown away. And the other person who blew me away at that time – in those summer league was Zach LaVine, who was who's a really good player, but would be even better if he didn't have the knee injury. And they were so athletic and above everyone else. Sure. And that's not going away with Giannis. So you know what? It may not happen this year. He may need some help. He has to change things. He has to grow his game. One of the curses of being really super athletic is that you rely on it. It's so successful to you until you have to change it, until you're forced to change it.
Right.
So we see a Dwight Howard or a Amari Stoudemire just blow people away in their 20s on athleticism but never develop their game to survive in their 30s.
Yes, good. Well said. Boy, man, we done ate up most of the time here. So let's cut. We got the people going to flood the station with phone calls and we don't talk about our picks. So who do you like? Who do you like to come out the West? Who do you want to come out the West? And same with the East.
Well, I'm going to go with who I picked, and I wrote it on Twitter before the playoffs started. I'm sticking with it. I said Utah will win, and the reason I like Utah, save for injury, Mike Conley has to come back healthy. I know he was out last game.
Yep.
Because they are so deep. They have eight starters. They have shooters galore. So you have three people coming off the bench who are lights out. Bogdanovich could shoot. You have Ingles could shoot. We know Donovan Mitchell's the star. You got the center, Gobert, who makes every shot and drive hard, and that's a huge X factor for Utah that a lot of other teams do not have. I like their depth. I like their outside range. And I like Conley when he's healthy running and orchestrating the team. So if they stay healthy, I could see them winning it all, and that was my pick, and I'm sticking with it.
You had them over the Lakers then, huh?
Them over the Lakers on account of their depth, because a lot of times when you actually analyze who wins and goes deep in the playoffs, we like to put it all on the top three players, but it's usually the bench. And that goes for Golden State. We remember the great players, but they won one championship because Iggy came and changed the whole series off the bench, Iguodala. And if you look at those Golden State teams, they had great outpourings off the bench, whereas LeBron teams had nothing coming off the bench.
Yeah.
So people underrate the bench, and I like the Utah's depth.
Right. Okay. And coming out of the East?
I have to go with Nets.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, did you pick the Nets then, or you just saying the Nets?
I didn't pick an East team. I just said Utah would win it all, and maybe I said Utah would win it all, and maybe I didn't pick the East team because I was cowardly because I didn't really feel strongly about one team between Philly, Philly Nets, and Milwaukee,
right?
But that's becoming a little bit clearer now since we have the benefit to watch some games. Well, who do you think?
So you're taking Nets out of the East?
I'm gonna take the Nets out of the East. You know, I was leaning Philly at the time, but we don't know how Embiid is healthy or not healthy. So health is gonna play a role all the way around.
Right. Before I give you my side, do you 1-1 in two games in Atlanta? And I guess I've been hearing on the reports here that Atlanta has won 14 in a row since, you know, and I guess some of that before they opened up to capacity crowd. So are you giving Atlanta a puncher's chance here? Or
I do give them the chance. They're much more skilled than I gave them credit for going into the playoffs.
Agreed.
I, I knew what Trae Young would do, but what I didn't realize is that everyone could shoot. Their subs mm-hmm. could shoot. Bogdanovich is lights mm-hmm. out, hitting yep. just daggers in, yep. in both the Knicks series and the Sixers series to win games. Yep. And they built that team around Trae Young, because when Trae Young penetrates, he's either going to go up with it or he's going to whip a pass to the right. outside, and right. whoever's shooting it seems to be draining it. So they have right. very skilled players, and Capella will get those important rebounds.
I got you. Okay, mine real quick. I'm going to go with Phoenix because we got to get out of here. Magic Mike's giving me a cue. We got to get out of here. But Phoenix, I mean, more so out of want to than Utah is looking very, very good. But I like Phoenix because of their coach. He's a DC cat. I'm rushing for my name.
Monty.
Monty, yeah, Monty Williams. DC, Prince George's County area. So I know him. I him. So I'm a little prejudiced there. Then you got
former Nick
on the other side, who actually played for me in the Kenner League, which is a summer league here in Georgetown. And so Annette's Phoenix, and I want Monty Williams. Katie's got his rings. I wouldn't mind Monty Williams. And Monty Williams is a fascinating story. He has some major, major hardships. You put him on the net, it's a story that would touch your heart, make you cry. So, yeah. I dig him a lot. Man, we got to get gone, man.
But wait, how can you mention all that and not say how Chris Paul deserves a ring because he's played with poor teammates his whole career and he's uplifted everyone? You got to finish that with give Chris Paul a ring. You forgot that part.
I did. Yeah, right. Guilty as charged. Oh, yes. you calling a foul on the ref, huh? Okay, I got you.
I'm calling a foul on the ref because, you know, Chris Paul is such a transcendent talent, but another one of those guys who never went to the finals because of both untimely injuries in the playoffs right. and not right. good supporting cast.
Yes, but double digit sustained excellence. He's a superstar. We got to yes. go, man. That's our cue.
All right,
my friend. Thank you, Dave.
Coach has been great.
Yep, and so okay. are you, my friend.
And sending love to PZ and Eitan.
Yeah, yeah. Look, and I'm not going to go out here saying what does Dave say?
I'll say it
for Frosty
you. For everybody yeah. out okay. there. Stay
get
frosty.
Gone. That's what we're doing. We just going to get gone. Bye.
WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. That was The Collision from our sister station WPFW in Washington, D.C. And we are in New York City, WBAI. We have some programming that's coming your way. It's going to knock your shoes off. Please stay tuned.
This Thursday night, June 10th at 10 p.m., a tribute to Bob Dylan with performances by Stevie Wonder, Tracy Chapman, June Carter Cash and Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson, Richie Havens, the Clancy Brothers, Mary Chapin Carpenter, Roseanne Cash and Sean Colvin, Neil Young, Chrissy Hynde, Eric Clapton, The Band, George Harrison, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Roger McGuinn, and eventually Bob himself joins them on stage. That's this Thursday night, June 10th at 10 p.m. on Folk Radio here on WBAI.
Thanks to you.
Thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Thank you, people! Thank you!
Don't tell me to stop. Tell the rain not to drop. Tell me everything I'm not. Don't tell me to stop.
Hi, this is Liz Wright. You're listening to WBAI in New York.
Hey, remember me?
Yeah, you do that announcement.
Yeah, right, yeah. It's a station identification. I need to do it again.
Well, hold on. How about I do it?
Okay. Yeah.
So it's you turned to...
Tuned to.
Yeah, you tuned
to radio
to
station.
Radio station WB... What is it?
AI. WBAI.
Oh,
you
yeah.
tuned to WBAI New York.
Listener Spangled.
Sponsored. Sponsored.
Listener
Sponsored.
Non-commercial Pacifica Radio in New York.
Streaming at
streaming
WBAI.
At WBAI.org. Huh?
Good. Really? Well.
Would you get back in there?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
Hi, this is Iggy Pop, and you're listening to WBAI in New York, the voice of truth.
I took a pounding from the radio today. I heard the radio say it over and over, and there was no escape.